Blog Talk Radio.
Smooth and pretty good. We're here again to share our thoughts, hear your thoughts, as always. So, with that being said, T, you got anything for our audience today?
Just a good evening. I think you said it. Hope everything is going all right with everybody. Let's jump into it.
In the know. Well, first for this week's in the know, I was doing my usual, scanning through the internet, and I came across a gay catering worker in Brooklyn filed a lawsuit against the Houston Rockets and the company he was employed by.
Okay.
Now, the worker that he heard while working, I guess he was backstage working in the locker room or behind the scenes for the Houston Rockets team when they were playing the Brooklyn Nets.
Mm-hmm.
He said, and I quote, "Get this F out of here. He's trying to catch a sneaky peek." So the worker was later restricted by the Brooklyn, I guess it's the Brooklyn Nets, but it's a catering business that worked for the Brooklyn Nets. He was restricted from doing any private VIP area working, locker rooms, and dressing rooms. And it was as a result of his sexual orientation, he believed. So he filed a lawsuit. But he didn't file a lawsuit against the Brooklyn Nets or the Brooklyn Nets or the arena. I can't think of the name of it. Barclays. Yeah. It was just against the Houston Rockets and the catering company that employed. What do you think about that?
Well, I don't understand the basis of his suit, though.
Well, he's suing. I don't understand the basis for the riot. I understand the basis of the company. Because he's suing the company, saying they kind of discriminated against because of his sexual orientation.
What?
Now, the player seen it as, of course, because he was, you know, of a different sexual orientation. They seen it kind of like, I guess you could say, they was uncomfortable with him being in the locker room and backstage behind the scenes with him.
I get it. And I mean, he had to know what he was signing up for when he announced he was gay. I don't know if he announced he was gay before he took the job or whatever.
Right.
At the end of the day, like, you have to expect that from a gay man. I mean, again, I don't understand what the basis of the suit is, but obviously there is one if it went through.
Right. Check this out now, folks. A Brooklyn catering worker files a lawsuit against the Houston Rockets and the company that employed him. He worked for a company, a catering company that worked in Brooklyn Nets Arena.
Okay.
And I guess he was, you know, working backstage or working in the locker room in the VIP area for the players. And some of the players, and I quote, he said, get this F out of here. Not, you know,
yeah,
the word that is often used for homosexual male. And it said he's trying to catch a sneaky peek. This is what the player said. So he filed a lawsuit because he said the company later restricted him from doing VIP areas and being in the locker room. And he felt it was based totally off his sexual orientation.
But his suit is against the Houston Rockets, not the company that restricted
him.
No. The suit is against the company that employed him.
Okay, all right.
And the Houston
and
Rockets.
The Houston Rockets.
I guess it's defamation of character.
No.
So I don't know. I mean, I'm just throwing out. I'm trying to give him something.
Defamation of character, from my understanding, is somebody who's lying. I mean, that's just a personal opinion of you.
Right.
That's not an defamation. I understand suing the company. If the company
yeah,
needs
I
sexual
say that.
Orientation.
I understand suing the company, but the Houston Rockets, I don't think he is attacking the right person.
No, he's trying to address it
from a financial stand is what it seems like.
Yeah, that's what it's about.
That's what it seems like to me.
Why sue Houston and not Brooklyn?
That's a good question, because it says there's no lawsuit being made against the Brooklyn Nets or the stadium or the arena.
Yeah.
The arena. It's Houston Rockets and his employer. I can even understand the employer, because you can say it's a discrimination.
Right.
I can understand that. I can't understand why he's going at the Rockets, though.
I can't understand why he's going at the Rockets. For that.
Because they called him out of his name. Called him out of his name. I thought it was interesting, but I also thought it was kind of interesting how this type of stuff make the news.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? It's like, you know, not saying that it's not important, but it's almost like you want to point out. And then, you know, Brooklyn is the first NBA team to have. They signed a guy who came out. What's his name?
I guess that's why he couldn't sue Brooklyn.
Maybe so.
I mean,
maybe so.
Maybe
so. Because, I mean, obviously, if the player said this, the dude must have been flamboyant. I'm assuming, and I'm speculating, but you're not just going to call or come out at someone like that unless you can tell.
I'm saying, man, this type of stuff go on all the time.
Yeah.
I mean, they go on with on straight players. But I guess because he's not straight, he took offense to it. He took it personal because it was personal.
Right.
I would say, now, it was wrong.
Yeah, it was wrong.
It was wrong. He should not have been discriminated against anyway. But I'm just attacking the right people. I don't really see. I think he's trying to throw a little financial gain in there if possible.
Right. Because
coming at the Rockets.
If you throw the Rockets' name out there, they might be inclined to say, okay, the quiet is down. We'll give you this and go
right.
And get out of here.
Going out about your business.
You know what I mean? Because, of course, the employer, they probably going don't find some other basis to say they let him go for anything.
Good luck to you, buddy.
Yeah, good luck on that one. Good luck on that one. Check this out, man. Actress Gwyneth Paltrow. Y'all know Gwyneth Paltrow, right? Says having an office job is easier than acting. Right?
Okay.
Now, she went in to say this, and I quote, "I think it's different when you have an office job because it's routine. And you know, you can do all the stuff in the morning. When you're shooting a movie, they're like, we need you to go to Wisconsin for 2 weeks. And then you work 14 hours a day. That part of it is very difficult. I think to have a regular job and be a mom is not as, of course, there are challenges, but it's not like being on set." She got a lot of backlash on this because basically she was saying working moms have an easier job
than what she had.
Right. Now, granted, she does one movie a year, makes millions of dollars, and she said 2 weeks. I don't know if this is how long the time she is to do the movie, but if you take 2 weeks out of the year for one movie, you get millions of dollars, and you know she's a part of the Iron Man
franchise. Mm-hmm.
And she has endorsements and various endorsements, so she's making plenty of money. Do you think that was a fair assessment on her part, or do you think she's kind of ignorant to the fact? Because a lot of working moms don't take that kindly. I mean,
I was going to say, has she ever had an office job?
I doubt it. But then we don't know.
We don't know. I don't really see what she has to stand on. I don't really. Sound like she's just talking out the side of her neck to me.
But she really believe that though.
I'm with the first one. Like, why is this in the news? That's her opinion. Wow. She can have her opinion.
But see, the thing, I think the reason it was in the news because she kind of attacked everyday people. She compared herself to everyday people. When we look at her life, her life as being glamorous, and you saying to me, your life is really better than mine. And I'm thinking like, you get $1 million for 2 weeks. Not 8 million, probably a couple million for 2 weeks.
Well, maybe she was defending what she may have felt was an attack at her. Somebody said, you got it easy. Yeah. All you got to do is make movies.
We all say that. The actors and actresses, they got it easy. All they got to do is memorize some lines.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? Like you said, for a couple of weeks.
So she's just giving a different perspective.
Right.
Yeah. But then being that she's not in the match, the people that buy the magazine, it wasn't even a magazine, it was on E. I think E! News interviewed her. But, you know, that's the everyday people that's watching E! News.
Right.
So, I mean, for me to see that and hear that, you're kind of going to turn me against you. So I thought it was reckless, but I thought it was kind of naive to the fact of, okay, the people that's watching Iron Man are the people you're talking about here. You might want to be a little more relatable. But it is what it is.
Yeah,
it is what it is. You know what I mean? Now, this one I thought was very interesting. And then, you know, being a former soldier myself, I checked into it. So I seen Army Regulation 670-1, which are the rules on tattoos, hairstyles, grooming, and uniforms. They just redid it. And it just came out. A lot of black female soldiers are criticizing it because they see the news towards hairstyles as being racially biased. Now, let me explain what they did. The regs apply only to women, right? And it bans twists, dreadlocks, and multiple braids, cornrows, that are bigger than a quarter of an inch. Twists and dreadlocks have been kind of banned since 2005, but now it's more detailed into. So basically, if a woman has, you know how ladies like to wear the braid that meets in the back of their head with natural hair, you can't wear it if it's over a quarter of an inch.
If the braid is over a quarter.
If the quarter is over, and if it's more than one.
So you can't wear it.
You can't wear it.
Basically. I'm trying to figure out Do they have a point? I seem to agree, because what's the big deal? Right, and it only pertains to one demographic.
Not necessarily,
but more than
more so.
Because more black soldiers, female soldiers, they have, and now being that natural is kind of a thing that's going on. I mean,
they kind of want they can't. They basically can't be natural,
right,
to a certain extent.
So what they need to do is just show up with their hair standing on the top of their head. All of them show up with their hair just going everywhere. And then see what they say about that one. What we going to do now? Now we got to cut it off?
But see, the red don't going to get them on that, because you have to be groomed to a certain extent. So that's why it only pertains to women, because men have hair has to be a certain length and a certain groom.
Okay.
So women have been able to wear the braids because it's a woman.
Right.
And they've been able.
What I was going to say was probably a little along those lines. I think about military. It wants basically all of its soldiers to be
uniform.
Right.
From the uniform to the haircut.
Mm-hmm.
You know, okay, so then make it simple. People know when they sign up for the military what they're signing up for.
Right.
Okay, this is the hairstyle you will have if you are a male soldier. This is the hairstyle you will have if you're a female soldier.
I think that's what this is doing. The problem
is, the people that are already in.
You won't get this hairstyle because this is what I say you get.
I'm finna get you some comments from female soldiers, from some female black soldiers who had, you know, reported on how they felt. It was anonymous, of course. But some said, and I quote, "I have been in the military 6 years. I've had my hair natural for 4 years, and it's never been out of regulation. It's never interfered with my headgear, because the headgear is
that's what it's all
about,
right?
So, and she said she regularly wears her hair in two twists. So I guess that means, you know, I don't know, two twists can mean anything. Women have so many different hairdos. I do know before I got out, the women started to twist the hair up, the braids and stuff, and they would just, because your hair can't go longer than your the collar of your BDU top, so it has to stop like neck length. So they would just put it in a ponytail or something, put it up, but as long as it fit under the hat and the hat was in regulation, it was okay. Now it's basically kind of okay. You can't really do that either. You know what I'm saying? You kind of, it's almost limiting the female soldiers to be like the male soldiers. You know, and then like you say, T, how do you implement this? And I already been in, like the female soldier here said, I've been in for 6 years. And then for 4 years, my hair been natural. It's never been a problem. Now what am I supposed to do? Change my hairstyle?
Yeah, get a buzz cut. That's what we want you to do.
Yeah.
That's what
we
want you to
do.
Say it. Yeah, exactly.
We want you to get a
buzz
cut.
Either
that or they're trying to get rid of a demographic.
Yeah,
trying to phase them out.
They're trying to have control, man, and they probably feel like they're losing control a little bit because they have such an option.
Right.
So, now I'm losing my uniformity now because you have so much personal control of your hairstyle and how you wear it is interfering with what I need as the military. So just cut all that out. Stop putting regulations and just make it just straight and straightforward. That's how they should be.
I mean, because it says, like, most black women wear their hair natural in the military because they do not have the tools to straighten their hair when they're deployed, which is true. If you're deployed, I mean, you can't get no perm. Ain't no perms in our right. You know what I mean? You ain't got time to be doing that. So your hair has to be natural and probably up. The female soldier went on to state, she said, when you're in Iraq, these hairstyles serve to the purpose to protect you. I mean, it's a good point to look at, you know what I'm saying? And it's easy to take care of for them, you know what I mean? So it's a good point to look at. I thought it was crazy. Well, I shouldn't say crazy. I thought it was kind of out there how they put that regulation in place, you know what I'm saying? To kind of, I don't know, it seemed to me more like it singled out one demographic.
Yeah, and it
was kind of messed up, you know what I mean? And it's probably a real uproar. I mean, we're on the outside looking in. But I can only imagine, because I remember my days when I was in, how when something went wrong, man, that was the talk of the town.
Mm.
But that was, I mean, that was that. Then on my next topic, a team, and this is actually a topic that I had to hit on because I thought this was very, very interesting and in light. A team in Long Island, New York, was accepted into all 8 Ivy League schools. Now, that's what's up. 17-year-old Kwasi, I messed his name up, so bear with me, but I know Kwasi is right. Kwasi Enyi, whose parents immigrated from Ghana, wants to be a physician, possibly a cardiologist or a neurologist. He received acceptance letters from Brown, Columbia, Cornell, Dartmouth, Harvard, Princeton, the University of Pennsylvania, and Yale.
That's crazy.
And he said the reason he did the 8, because he wanted to make sure he got a chance to get into the 1.
Mm-hmm.
So he didn't have a clue that he would get into all of them. You know what I'm saying? Dude scored a 220 on the SAT, which put him in the 99th percentile. So he's a real smart young man. He said he's leaning toward going to Yale. He said he's leaning toward going to Yale. Besides Ivy League schools he was accepted in, he was also accepted by Duke, Stony Brook University, SUNY Geneseo, I'm not sure, it might be a school in Africa or something, and Binghamton University.
Right, wherever that's at.
Yeah, wherever that's at. But I thought that was real interesting. I thought that was real interesting. That was what was up.
I heard a little bit about that. What struck me, you know, I feel like this is something you should show your kids.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? Cause they put his picture up on the TV and you see a young brother.
Yeah.
It's what you see.
Yeah.
Young dark skinned young man, you know, with a little afro. Image of us. You know what I'm saying? And so I think that's good for the young children to see.
Yeah, and it definitely is. And the truth about it is, I didn't know until reading this that the University of Pennsylvania was considered an Ivy League. I didn't know that. Honestly, I thought it was Princeton, Columbia. I knew about them, Dartmouth, Yale, and Harvard. I knew about them. But I didn't know those other ones. I had no clue about these. I knew that for a fact.
Hmm.
That's what's up, man. I was originally asking myself, why did this make news?
But
it's a young black man who can write his ticket.
Yeah.
With all the young black men, the stupid stuff that young black men do that make news. I'm glad this made news.
Yeah, just
national news.
Yeah,
this is the stuff that we want to make
news. Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, that's huge. Get accepted to one?
One, yeah.
And so you got accepted to
all
of
8. And you have a choice. And he says he's leaning toward Yale.
Man.
Boy, I would love to hear my son tell me I'm leaning toward Yale.
You know what I'm saying?
I'm leaning toward Yale. That's it for my in the know for this week. See, you got something for us, don't you?
Yeah, I got one. This is on a little more serious note, though, you know. I don't know if you heard about it or not. This was posted on the Huffington Post on the 30th of March. And this, a Delaware man convicted of raping his 3-year-old daughter only faced probation after a state superior court judge ruled, quote, he will not fare well in prison. I'm going to say that again. A Delaware man convicted of raping his 3-year-old daughter only faced probation after a state superior court judge ruled he, quote, will not fare well, quote, in prison. In a decision, the judge said he would benefit more from treatment. He was charged with a 4th-degree rape in 2009. No, this is the same one. This is from 2009.
Okay.
The only reason we heard about it, like, it had gone on
the radar.
But the ex-wife filed a civil suit because the key is he's a one percenter.
Gotcha.
Yeah.
Gotcha.
He's
gotcha.
A one percenter, which means he is in the 1% of the most wealthiest people in the country.
Well off. Yeah, Mitch Romney.
He's the great grandson of the DuPont family. Patriarch.
Oh, DuPont. Oh, okay.
Yeah. He also admitted to assaulting his infant son. And a daughter between 2005 and 2007. Now, these counts, each count translates to 10-year mandatory sentences per count.
Right.
He got out on $60,000 bail, and all he got was probation, and she sentenced him to sexual offender treatment program.
Is he?
Because he wouldn't fare well
in prison.
A lot of people locked up that don't fare well in prison.
Answer me, who fares well? Name me one person that fares well in prison.
That makes absolutely no sense whatsoever to me.
Yeah. Now, the public defender in that state told the News Journal that it was extremely rare for an individual to fare well in prison. Prison is to punish, to segregate the offender from society. And the notion that prison serves people well hasn't proven to be true in most circumstances. Adding that the light sentence for the member of the 1% raised questions about how a person with great wealth may be treated by the system.
Mm.
So what do we think?
I don't know what y'all think. I think that statement is true.
Yeah.
The wealthy people are treated. Look at celebrities. They are treated differently in the eyes of the law. The way they try to deny it as much as possible, they try to throw in the occasional example, you know, make an example out of somebody here and there. For the most part, if you got money, you usually get off. That's just kind of how it works. Not how it's supposed to work.
No, it's not how it's supposed to work. But that is, and like you said, they kind of put it under the radar so we didn't see it. It's all about money. It's all about money. You knowing the right people, being in the right place. But I'm these children we talking about.
Yeah.
Somebody need to scrank him up somewhere in a tree
and
wet his ass out. I'm just going to be real. For real, man. You don't mess with children. Children don't bother nobody, man. Because
that's what would have happened to him if he would have been locked up.
Okay.
And they found out.
And they know that.
Up.
That's why somebody he won't fare with.
Right. Nah, he ain't going to fare well at all.
We
no.
Had a judge.
No.
Ever cared about.
So
fair.
Right. That's the whole point.
Fair in prison.
The whole point, man.
That just tells me how crooked and how one-sided not only our judicial system and our political system, but this country as a whole.
Yeah.
It's one-sided, man. The wealthy control it all. Those judges' salaries getting paid by somebody.
Yeah.
Who you think paying?
Yeah, that 1%.
There it is.
Because the 1% are the judges, really.
I am above the law.
Yeah.
Now, like I said, the only reason why this story ever came out was because his wife went at him on a
civil suit. Right.
What happened?
What did he say?
Between 2005 and 2007. He went to trial and he was cleared in 2009. It's 2014.
Yeah.
We just hearing this story. Come on.
Well, I have a guest host with us today, Mr. Javon Carter. So I'm going to go ahead and let him come on in and we'll go move in from our, if we finish,
we're
going to move our topics for today's show, so I'm gonna go ahead and let Javon in.
Hey, how you doing? How's it going, guys? Hey, I really appreciate this, man. Y'all put me on. Appreciate this.
Oh, no problem, man. No problem. This is what it's all about, man. We want to get you know you about doing something positive in the community. You know, you advocate for good things, and hey, that's what it's all about, man. So we want to shine that light on you, that you have your time to speak, you know. Get out there
right,
what you need
right.
to get out there, man. This is what I'm about.
Okay. Hey,
what's
I appreciate it, man. Yeah, and that's one thing about our community. And like our whole community in general. It just people don't think about what they're doing and how they do it. And then when it comes down to it, it's the wrong thing to do. So
yeah.
As me and a lot of other guys that I deal with, we try to bring people in and talk with them and try to get them motivated and know that it's better things in life than want to be in the streets.
Yeah.
Because being in the streets right now, man. Oh, you good. But being in the streets, man, right now, I know it was all good back in the day out there, man. But back then in the day, we had fist fights and good best friends after that. Now, you get into a fist fight, you're going to a funeral the next Saturday.
Yeah. And that's
the state of where we at now. That's the truth, man. That's definitely the truth. I know you had thrown out the topic you had for us. So if you want to introduce it, you can go ahead and we'll speak on it and we'll share our thoughts and you can share yours as well.
Okay. Well, my topic was it's about judging others and basically just stereotyping people that we deal with every single day. People think because you got a nice car, you got a big old house, you got money, or they think because you live in a certain kind of way or you got this kind of friends, you're doing big things. But people fail to realize that everybody wake up in the morning time and they put their clothes on one foot at a time.
Yeah.
So, you know, I want to put out there sometimes, people get real frustrated and they get hot with each other. They want to say, well, I'm going to go rob this person over here, man, because he got so much money and everything else. But we don't know that. He could be struggling just to maintain.
Yeah. It's true,
so
man.
I feel
it's
that
true. You know, my go ahead. I'm sorry.
Oh, no, I'm saying anything. No, I'm good.
My standpoint, like, on stereotyping, and I understand totally where you're coming from, Javon, because I feel that. A lot of times you get labeled and put in a category, and you don't mean no harm to nobody. You're just trying to make it like they are. You know what I'm saying? And
exactly.
doing good sometimes almost is a curse just as doing bad. Yeah, you know, yeah, Biggie said it best.
Right. Right. And this topic I have here, man, I was
go ahead, man. I ain't mean to interrupt you. Go ahead.
I'm sorry. Oh, but the topic I have here, man, I ended up getting it from Dr. King because I got a video of him, a DVD of him where he's speaking on judging others, and it really just touched the heart because as now on Facebook, people will watch what somebody else is doing, and they assume because they're hanging with this guy or they're hanging with that guy that they're doing so much better, or they're going to this club and not going to this club, or they're talking to this girl or that girl, but not knowing that people is people. Everybody out there you see, they have issues, even though they got a lot of money, like I said before. People that go to jail with a lot of money, they get off, but sometimes some of them go to jail and they be in there and they be in jail struggling. But our mindset saying, oh, he in jail doing it big. No, he in jail, he getting the line, he's doing his number count every hour how I go, and you know,
that's
what it is.
Yeah, for real.
Judgments and stereotypes, they all come from one thing, and you can say it a number of different ways, but you can call it ignorance, you can call it a lack of facts.
Yeah.
At the end of the day, if you don't know what you're talking about, I mean, when you judge and you stereotype, 9 times out of 10, it's because you don't know the truth. And so
exactly.
Like you left to assume.
Yeah.
Correct.
And then that, you know, that's kind of ignorant, you know, really, to be honest with you, to just judge somebody.
It's ignorant.
Look, I mean, come on, even now to the just on your appearance. You know what I'm saying? I'm walking around myself, long dreads, you know, a face full of hair. I'm judged off my before I even enter any kind of situation.
Yeah.
You know, we deal with that on the daily. So that's just a little sign of ignorance on our part to even do that.
But you know what the thing is about stereotyping, and I had to put this in here. Stereotyping is contagious.
Mm-hmm.
And it's so contagious to the fact that we stereotype our own kind.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying?
Exactly.
You know what I mean? Because, like, this just being totally honest, if I didn't know Bone personally and I seen him, my mind will go one way.
Yeah, I'm going to watch him.
Yeah.
I'm going to watch him because I don't know what he's going to do. And it is. It's totally ignorant because I don't know this man. I'm saying to myself, I don't know him, so I'm going to watch him. No, I don't know him, so why am I concerned with him?
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? He ain't done to me. He ain't opened his mouth. He ain't looked at me crazy. I have no reason to be apprehensive about this man.
Talk to me. I'm a nice guy.
Yeah.
But that's what we do. And I mean, it's a sad situation, but...
What do we do about it?
That was my next question. Like, how do you change it? Like...
How
aside from
it?
Each person making the individual decision that I'm not going to. How do you
think one way? I think one way that we can change it is really stereotyping. When a person goes to jail or a person gets killed, let's stop glorifying the person that's doing the killing and the person that's going to jail. Throwing parties for these kids that's going to college and graduating. And let's start throwing the application party for the guys that's getting out of jail who need a job. If that starts circling, evolving, it'll work. Because I had a lot of friend of mine who'd have been to college and graduated, and they get out of school and they're trying to find a job. Ain't nobody celebrating them. Ain't nobody giving them a party. But a joker will go to jail and do 10 years for murder or robbery or whatever. He got a big old badge. His homeboy buying him shoes, clothes. He's going to the mall. He got an apartment. And I'm sitting here working everything. They're like, man, I can't even get that. But now, like you said, it's contagious because now I'm on the other end dealing somebody else. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
On
it's
the positive side of
like,
looking at the bad.
I don't know the guy's name. The dude that was an ATF. You know, I can't tell you his name, but he's kind of famous. But he stepped out when Boosie was out of jail. You know, all the hoopla was going around with Boosie. So he tweeted. He was like, man, the hell with Boosie getting out of jail. You know what I'm saying? Like, why are we celebrating this man doing something wrong or being free from doing something wrong? We got so many people, like we just talked about, this young man who got accepted to five or all of the Ivy League schools.
Yeah.
Why don't we know that? Like, if we don't research that, we won't ever know that.
Know that, yeah. But you'll know Boosie out of jail just click in the Facebook.
Yeah, you ain't even got to go as big as Boosie. I mean, you got your neighborhood superstar.
Yeah, yeah.
You know what I'm saying? Like, to your point, we glorify the wrong thing. Now, I'm not saying that we should. If a person has made a mistake and they're trying to rehabilitate themselves and they're trying to turn around, okay, good, support them. But if you are intent on doing something that you know is going to land you back to where you just came from, why am I going to make a block you getting out right now?
Yeah.
Yeah, don't glorify it.
You know what I mean? You're giving the wrong message. I'm giving the wrong message to people, to innocent people who's sitting there watching. It's like, okay, I could put the effort in to do something positive, but ain't nobody gonna appreciate that.
What message are we sending to our kids?
That's what I'm talking about.
Yeah, exactly.
Like we sending to them the message that to go to jail is more glorifying than it is to go to college.
To go to college, yeah.
Go to college, exactly.
Yeah, and
exactly.
Like you said, I'm down with that application part of though. That.
Yeah, that's, I like
I'm
that.
Down with that. I'm glad to throw that out. Cause even though it's laughable, but the truth of the matter is, if you think about it, it makes sense.
Yeah, it really does.
It makes sense. Let's do something that engages us in a positive way. Let's stop engaging. Let's stop getting caught up in the masses and doing what's cool, quote unquote, cool.
Yeah.
Let's do what used to be right.
Exactly.
Another thing we have to understand that just like you're not going to get everybody to celebrate wrong. You're not going to get everybody to celebrate right.
Yeah.
That does not mean the ones that choose to celebrate right can't give all the effort to celebrate right. You can't draw everybody in.
You're right.
Everybody, you know what I'm saying? Everybody ain't going to grab on. But at the end of the day, because people don't grab on, I don't do nothing? Nah. Because we feel like nobody is going to join in and celebrate right.
We just don't do it.
We don't do it.
But with that being said also, nobody going to join in. It's just like a person not going to this store because they don't sell a certain one thing, but let somebody go to this store with a proper name. That boy, I went to the Corner Store 5, and boy, I got to sell. Not everybody gonna start going to the Corner Store 5. It's like they just glorifying that dude as hell on this level right here. But opposed to, I'm gonna take it back for a minute. Opposed to just saying about people going to jail, and I have a lot of friends that's going to jail. I mean, that went to jail and got a jail. I got a friend going to jail now. Something he did, and I told him that I'm helping my much as I can. But back in the day, you know, these guys, some man was in the streets running wild, doing whatever else it is. But now they older, they're trying to get a job, and they're trying to stay out of these young boys' way because the young boys don't have no, they have zero understanding on life and how valuable life is.
Well,
you know, so
you said it.
So you know, it's kind of like it's our job to kind of pull these boys to the side. The thing about it is, like you said before, we can't change everybody, but if we can change one person, he going to tell somebody else, boy, that dude there, man, he really helped me out. And he going to draw somebody else in.
I think along with the younger generation, like if we, like we just said, if we stop respecting the wrong path that these young men are taking. Now, first of all, we have to take the right path.
Yeah.
As the older people, older you want to say it. We have to make the decision to take the right before we can try to show anybody anything.
Yeah.
But at the end of the day, like, I'm not gonna give Jit, for lack of a better term, that props for the ignorance that he's doing. And maybe that'll help guide him or move him in a different direction. Like, man, look, go to school, go get a job, go start a business. Listen, these are some of the smartest people, like, ever.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
It takes major intelligence to do the wrong thing.
Bang, it does.
And get away with it. It takes major intelligence. You can't tell me that I'm just trying to go do that the right way.
Yeah. Yeah. That's true.
The same fight and effort and all of that you put in doing wrong, you turn around and do it right. You major CEO of a major corporation, and they don't know how you did it.
And that's one reason that also, I'm going to cut you off, but that's one thing with that, man, or how I look at how Martha Stewart did her thing, or how she took money, got the heads up on the money, went to jail, did her time, and got back and she was making money while she was in jail. You know, opposed to a lot of our friends and young black men, young Hispanic men out on this corner selling dope, and know for a fact the police coming, and they still stand there. But they don't put anything back for the long ride. While they're in jail, they're not making no money, so they're making 3 cents an hour. So therefore, they're not making no money. Then when they get out, they depend on their friends to put them back on. Opposed to Martha Stewart, her brand name kept her going. And we're not investing anything in ourselves, in our names, to keep things going. All the kids now is so hyped up on Michael Jordan. For the brand name, I gotta have a pair of Michael Jordans. But the little kid that live in West Bradenton or West Miami or downtown Atlanta, he not going by Michael Jordans. He going to buy some Vans, some Skechers, because he don't have to glorify what he got. Because he's not going to use that brand to make himself look better. And we stopped
that
brand
out. Ago, man. The people that I'm sorry about that, but the people that put in major effort to, for lack of a better term, show off, 9 times out of 10, they ain't really got that.
Yeah.
The people who got it, ain't got to go to that extent to show you I got it. I know I got it.
I got it, exactly.
I could wear a pair of flip-flops and be good.
And be good.
I got them out of Walmart. I'm good. I ain't got to go pay $200 for a flip-flop. I don't need that. So we just got the wrong mentality about things, man. It's like, by no means am I saying that we shouldn't even get it. That's not what I'm saying. Get it and learn what to do with it.
Yeah.
Make it work for you.
Exactly.
You know what I'm saying? Like,
exactly.
Stop getting it and giving it back.
Yeah, and when you, everybody's saying, you're like, the stereotyping, we've kind of put ourselves, our own selves in that,
realm to be stereotyped because we're going to buy it wrong. And then we quit to stereotype the next person, but we're doing the same thing.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, you're doing the same thing. You know what I mean? I'm going to the mall to get Jordans, but then I see the dude on the corner with Jordans. I'm like, okay, he went to work for that, and he ain't done this, he ain't done that for it. But if
exactly.
I ain't showing him the right way to go about it, it's, you know what I mean? It's kind of like everybody's caught up in the same thing, but I can point it out on you, but you can't point it out on me.
Right.
Not on me.
Right.
Exactly. Exactly.
And that's what that stereotyping thing is. So it's so embedded in us till we don't even realize you. I stereotype somebody and walk off and say I'm right because in my mind I'm right. But the reality is I'm just as wrong as him.
Another way, man, I'm going to throw this out as I think about it. Like another way to stop yourself from being stereotyped or judged or however you want to put it, stop putting your business out.
Yeah.
Hmm.
Yeah.
You
thank
like,
you. Yeah. Thank you.
If you doing something, then do it.
Do it.
And everybody ain't got to know that.
Everybody ain't got to know.
When you mm-hmm. when you tell people what you're doing, you telling them to get an opinion.
Yeah.
You telling them
and that's how they stereotype.
What they think. Exactly. Do what you're doing. Keep your mouth closed. Go on about your business.
So what I hear you saying is basically at the end of the day, you your own worst enemy.
Yeah.
They ain't get mad at me when I point it out to you. Yeah. Yeah,
I mean,
you get mad at me when I'm pointing out.
I can't get mad at you for having an opinion about what I do if I don't tell you what
I do. Yeah, exactly.
At this point, you're guessing what I do because I ain't told you. And then you have an opinion and you talk about what I do. It's my fault.
Yeah.
I can't stop what your mouth do.
You're right.
You got a point.
And you can't control it. I can't dictate on what you say tomorrow or what you said yesterday. You said it. It's your words. But
you know, just,
it's not my, it's not,
go ahead.
Huh?
Go ahead,
but it's
go ahead,
not
I'm
my
sorry.
Job. Oh, are you okay? But it's not my job to get mad at you because you said it. Because, like you say, if I didn't tell you my business, then hey, it won't get told. Because the thing about it is, can't nobody describe you how you describe your own self? Describe
mm-hmm.
your own self. Because when
mm-hmm.
you speak on something, if I tell you three brothers right now, boy, I went and bought me a Cadillac yesterday, man, it's bad. You gonna say, but Javon got a Cadillac with 24s on it. So he got a Cadillac with a
yeah.
GPS in it. He got, you know what I'm saying? It's gonna travel so many ways, different kind of words, to the point that
yeah. Yeah.
I ain't said that yesterday. I said I got a Cadillac, but now you got a Cadillac
mm-hmm.
Escalade with five TVs in the back. You know what I mean?
Yeah, that's
you
true.
Know?
That's true.
We gotta as people, man. We gotta stop. Okay, this is how I look at it, all right? We're going to be stereotyped.
Yeah.
Okay? We're going to be stereotyped. So we got to stop allowing ourselves to be influenced by those
mm-hmm.
stereotypes.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? Stop putting so much energy and worrying about what somebody else thinks about you.
Mm-hmm.
That's a waste of time and energy, if you ask me.
Let me ask this question.
Exactly.
How do you be a member of society and not be concerned with your stature or your position or what somebody else might think about you in society? How do you do that? Now, I'm not saying that you're not impossible. It's
mm-hmm.
not there from your opinion. How do you do that? How
Perfect.
Do I walk amongst my peers
how
and not
I do
be concerned?
Because it's hard because you're surrounded by it. You consume it. You have to put forth an effort to focus yourself and remember what your original task is, and that's self-preservation, to be honest with you.
Mm-hmm.
All right, so, you know, allowing yourself to be influenced by them,
mm-hmm.
we'll say,
mm-hmm.
to me, is just that's just a waste of good time and energy that you could be putting forth towards your goals, towards improving yourself to the next level or whatever that may be, personally, physically, whatever. Who cares what they think? It's easy for
yeah.
me, I guess, that because I just kind of grew up that way.
Yeah.
But see, I don't think it takes a whole lot.
I believe, though, to that point, Bone, I believe, though, if you believe in yourself, what you're doing is what you need to be doing, the society part of it doesn't really matter until you let them influence you.
Right.
Because if you can walk out and be
right.
an example, and in your heart you feel like what I'm doing is right, you don't care what nobody else thinks, no way. You know what I'm saying? It really doesn't bother you. Yeah, it doesn't bother you. And what they get out of it is what they're going to take from it. What they get out of it.
Exactly.
And it may be their bad, or it may be their advantage. However it works out, if you walk your walk and don't get influenced by the bad things that's around you, you'll be all right. But once we take that in, that's where we become a part of the cycle.
Yep.
And that's how you, in return, start stereotyping yourself. Because you feed into it, like Bob would say. But if you don't give it the energy, then you don't stereotype because you ain't worried about nobody else. Because you ain't worried about what nobody else worried about you.
It's a different level. You know, like, it's different levels. And where you understand, there's a dynamic of people in your same demographic that don't have that same understanding.
Mm-hmm. Correct.
And
I think,
yeah, in addressing that demographic or that group of people who have been molded,
mm-hmm.
We were talking about the crabs a couple of weeks ago, and it's like our environment has a bigger impact on us than I think we realize. So when you're in an environment where this is all that's going on around you, all that's going on around me, that's all
mm-hmm.
that I see.
Mm-hmm.
How do I not get drug into that? How do I not become that? How do I not get influenced by it? That's all I see. I don't see corporate America. I don't see nothing outside of this immediate area that I'm in.
You know what, though, and I understand that point, but I can't buy it because even in Louisville, Bonia, I seen Uncle Noah. I seen Mr. James Gordon. I seen Mr. Billy Boston. I seen your daddy, Mr. Booker T, go to work. I had other ways of doing things and seen them. They weren't never on no corner. So you still have it, and maybe in a smaller increment, but you have it to see, to follow behind. But like you say, yeah, it might not be the mainstream as corporate America. But if you pick up them little bit of nuggets here and there from them, one day you'll get to corporate America.
Okay, now you're talking about, and I'm sorry, Javon, we're going to let you in, but I
oh, you're okay, you're okay.
You're talking about Robonia.
Mm-hmm.
But put yourself in another place where I've seen, first of all, daddy ain't here.
Mm.
And I see big brother or big cousin or whoever hustle,
mm-hmm.
and they friends hustle, and they friends hustle, and everybody that I see hustling, I see the older man, who I don't really know, but he like 60.
Mm-hmm.
I know he used to hustle,
mm-hmm.
but now he don't do that no more. He got a job,
mm-hmm.
so I can understand mm-hmm. that I got time to get to 60 to go get me a job. Right now, this is all I see though. This is right now where I'm at in my life. It's either this or suffer.
That's that fast life. You say, okay, I just take him off of what you said. I see this man 60, I got time. Living the life these boys, these young men and women are living nowadays, they not gonna live to see 60.
Right. And that right there gives me even more motive to go even harder for today. I'm going to stunt even harder today because I might not make it tomorrow.
That's the problem right there. Because, okay, so I'm going to go harder because I don't got as long to live.
Take
yourself out of that situation. Get yourself out of that scenario so you can live longer. That's what I feel like you're supposed to do.
Yeah.
But, you know, that example, we just, I'm going to say we, because we're a part of it right now, you know.
We're a part of
it. Now we have been.
We have been, you know what I'm saying? We stopped glorifying the wrong, that we've been saying this the whole show. We stopped glorifying the wrong and stopped glorifying what is popular. And we'll get to that point to where people understand that that's not just it. There's other things out there. You know, it's hard to go against the masses.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I'm saying? But we said it a few times before, man, it's different. Be different. Don't be afraid to be different.
Now, you know, I understand where you're coming from.
Mm-hmm.
This dialogue, though, is for that young man who is in the scenario I presented,
mm-hmm.
who might get wind of this conversation. This dialogue is for somebody who has a little bit of understanding. You understand what I'm saying? Like, you can do it a different way and still have your respect. There's more than one way to get respect from people.
What you got, Javon?
But, you know, one thing you guys said, man, that you got hit on a whole lot of good points. But I want to say two things, and I don't want to offend nobody about this here, but, you know, our young men that's in high school playing football, like you say, they might be on the streets, and they don't be thinking about the LSATs, SATs. They'll be thinking about taking them college tours, or they might say, oh, my coach going to get me in the school. But they forgot to realize your coach got a job already. You trying to get a job at some out of your school playing some ball, you know what I mean? And that's one thing that we really sort of realize, and then when they get to the school, they be so consumed in the brightness in life, soon as it starts snowing in Tallahassee, he back home. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
He's scared. He can't handle being outside of Bradenton, seeing a whole entire different lifestyle of people and what they're doing. Okay, man, I ain't coming home, man, because it's lame here, man. I ain't going back home, man. But that's how a lot of guys leave here and go off and be successful. Like Mike Jenkins, he went to South USF and he prospered. He said, I'm not coming back to Bradenton until I get me a degree. Dominique, he did the same thing. You know, Ace, they left. They didn't come back home because they put in their mind, I'm going to see something different. And I'm not going to be judged by my friends back here in Bradenton and say, man, come back home, man, or man, you need to go pro, man. They make their own decision. And the kids now, they let their friends, sometimes their parents too, make their decisions for them. We know full flag is not best for them. You know, and then also, my second thing is, people here, like you say, about Rabonia and this place in Bradenton, people is scared to go outside of the box, a lot of things. If I go over here and hang with Dr. Johnson and play a little golf Saturday morning, I might get judged differently because I'm over here with him. Or if I go to Orlando by myself, I'm kind of scared, so I need to go to Orlando with somebody else so I can say that I was with them. You know, I think it's best for our people to realize just step out there on your own faith and just do what you got to do because, really, people who's having a good time is not worried about them having a bad time. They're not studying about them. They're not studying about them. Because I get up every morning and go to work, I'm not worried about a dude. My plan is not worried about the next man who's standing around trying to get like me. Because I'm trying to get like somebody else who's doing better than me. You know what I mean? So so with that, we have to pretty much get out of that stigma. Stop being crabs in a bucket. Let's stop trying to pull somebody else down, or let's stop trying to talk bad about this person, that person, whatever. And let's say, hey, man, you need help tomorrow blowing something else. If you help somebody, you never know what he can do for you. Opposed to talking bad about them or judging them the wrong way. Because that's the thing about the people today. You know, we look at everything as a wrong. You know, we look at Rick Ross being wrong, but I think he's doing it, making music. He still get up every single morning and eat breakfast and scratch his belly and everything else. But the people here that hear his music, we feel like he's sitting down every single day and just counting money. No, he in the studio. Lil Wayne, he's like, yeah, man, he pop pills, whatever. But they say he be in the studio 22 hours out of the day making music or helping somebody on his team make music. So if we got that mindset thinking that everything these guys be saying, these songs, these guys are actually doing this stuff, they're not. Because if they were, they'd be on Bing News 9.
Yeah,
because
No, I was just going to say, I mean, to interrupt, what I hear you saying is we make ourselves think that that just comes easy to them. We don't see the work. That Rick Ross, we don't see the work that Lil Wayne that they putting in. You know what I'm saying? Yeah, I mean, cut you off, but yeah, I just want to make that point.
Oh, you're good. And just how you said about Mr. Gore not there and your dad, he said that they seen people get up every single morning and go to work, make some out of themselves. Like, I seen my dad get up for 35 years going to waste management, throwing garbage. You know what I mean? So it was instilled in me, say, man, when you get up, you get your job. You know, and I met man here in the hospital with his dad. I met him, and I was doing a job that I had no clue at all what I was doing, but I was a people's person, and I was just it just what I was until I found something better that's in my job field, and I went ahead and just did it. But I didn't let the people around me keep me stuck in that hospital, working in that hospital, because it wasn't for me. But as a, man, it was for me to get the job done.
Right. Get the job done.
Get the job done. So, you know, it was one thing about people have to pretty much stop worrying about what somebody else is saying about me and just get your job done, because there's always somebody else watching you also.
That's true. That's real true. Because to speak on the point, when I met you, when we first hooked up and we was in the hospital, and I came home and I was playing to my wife, I said, "Babe, I met this cool dude." I said, real cool. Real cool dude. I said, just love his job. I had no clue that wasn't the job you were supposed to be doing. You know what I mean? So now you just said it. Because like you said, when you fit into that job, you own it. You own that job.
Mm-hmm.
Father, I knew you loved coming up. That was your job. And it showed everything. That impact was there on me. It was even there on Daddy, because he would say, "Hey, where my man at?" He would look for you on a day-to-day basis. And that's what it's about, man. It's what you're saying to me is to be a man and to be efficient in whatever we're doing, we have to own it. We have to own it regardless if we like it or not. This is the means we got to get by in. And you affect people because you probably didn't even know I was paying attention.
I didn't know. And with that, man, when I went to that job, I said, "Man, I'm leaving." People in that, man, was like, "No, you can't go. You can't go because you just... it's something about you." I said, "But it's not my field. It's not for me." But I made sure that I came in there and did my job to the point where I left my name there behind. That left me a legacy
that you did,
behind.
You did do that. You did that. Now, I can speak for that. I honestly can speak for that.
I want to go back to the point you made about getting away. Because I know we all had the opportunity or at one point or another left home. I think that's important to find out what you're capable of, who you are, what you, you know what I mean? Like you limit yourself when you stay in one place and never venture out. Now, I'm not saying that, okay, I'm leaving and I ain't coming back, but at least go experience something different. You never know where it might take you. You never know what you might find there. You never know how your mind might evolve while you're going. I would suggest that for pretty much anybody. Get out of your comfort zone for a little bit. And it's hard because it's scary. I don't know what I'm walking through. I don't know what I'm going to see when I get there. But at the end of the day, how else is there to find out? What else is there to, what other way would you find out what you're capable of unless you try
to?
You don't have nothing to compare it to. You don't have nothing to compare it to. I remember leaving. And I remember my mindset being before I left that I was never coming back. Because it was just your ultimate goal was to get away from it. And then when you got away from here, you just knew you weren't coming back, and it's because this wasn't what you wanted at that point in time, or it was something bigger out there for you. And I remember going, and I remember the first thing I missed was home.
Yeah.
No matter how much, you know what I mean, I thought I wanted to get away from it, I missed it. And like to Javon's point, if I would have came back at any point, I would have been stuck home too. Because I wanted it so bad, because that's all you know. Because everything else to you is foreign, so you don't fit in, and you ain't trying to fit in. You want to get back to where it's easy, where you're doing what you know and how it's done, and that stagnates us a lot. That holds a lot of us here. And that holds a lot of us here in the bad, in that stereotype, because you get caught up in them influences. You have to get out of here to see it's different. Because right here, it's the same thing. And when you go other places, you see cats doing that. You sit down with cats and you talk to them and they tell you about, "Yeah, man, when I was younger, my uncle used to do this and do that." But it's positive. It ain't so much my uncle was on the corner as my uncle ran this business. You know, it's just a lawn business. But I work for my uncle every summer. You know, my uncle made money like this and I always had money in my pocket. He's thinking like, "Oh, you had that in your community?" And he's like, "Yeah, I'm going to own me one day." Now you seeing, oh, I can own my own business. There's no difference between me and him. But if I'm here, 9 times out of 10, my friend, who I'm calling my friend, going to say, "Hey, man, we might as well go hang on the corner. You know, ain't nothing else possible."
And I'm going to buy into it. 10 years later, I'm on the corner. Or if I ain't in prison. Like Javon said, it's going to be a returning cycle because I'm going to go to prison, back to the corner. To the prison, back to the corner. Because unless you get here and you got a strong enough mind to understand this ain't what I want to do, but I want to live.
I'm glad you said that, the strong enough mind part, because I was sitting here thinking, like, a person like me who thinks that thing would question, well, why do I have to leave? Why I gotta go somewhere? You know what I mean? It's not so much leaving. Because regardless of where you go, and this is something I had to find out the hard way.
You know what I'm saying? With you.
Wherever I went, it was one common denominator there, and that was me.
Mm-hmm.
I was taking me everywhere I went. So if I never change, or if I never allow my mind to open up to different situations, I'm gonna take whatever problems I had in place B to place C, and then back to place A. Because it's still with me. At the end of the day, leaving it on my, from my understanding, is more so to get in touch with myself.
Yeah.
To find out what I can do, what I want, what am I going to do about what I want.
Figuring out your own limitations.
Exactly. Yeah. Then I can go back home and be amongst those same people, those same situations, and have a different outcome. Because I'm not with the same thing. You can do whatever you want to do, but I ain't with that.
And you also become an example. Because, like Javon said earlier, you never know who watching you. And you can come back, and just because they ain't acting with you, don't mean they don't see that something different in the way you doing things compared to them. And that's what has to happen, ultimately, for us to change the stereotype.
Yeah.
You have to put that example. We have to exemplify what we expect and what we gonna put out there for somebody to follow. Because right now, what they gonna follow is what they see on Facebook. And it ain't all positive.
Yeah, right.
And one thing about it, like, if you come to me talking to me about somebody else, and I don't entertain your conversation,
I'm gonna stop talking.
There it is.
I'm gonna stop talking. So I'm gonna get mad.
It takes one person to change the whole group. I'll say.
One person get it. I might get mad because you ain't trying to hear what I'm saying. I'm trying to talk about this person. You got the audacity not to listen to me.
Yeah.
I'm going to get mad.
I ain't on that. I'm trying to improve me.
But I'm going to take that with me, though.
Yeah.
Mad or not, I'm going to take that with me. And I'm going to tell somebody else, but I'm going to be telling it from my side of point. Like, I'm mad at him. He wouldn't even listen to me. And then the other person's going to be like,
they going to get what I got.
Yeah. Be like, well, man, maybe the man ain't want to talk about that. You know what I'm saying? Now, just because of what you did to me,
you
done went in and educated somebody else.
And
you
ain't got it.
Right.
Still ain't got it.
But yeah, this thing is, the conversation alone is a beginning of change.
Yeah.
The fact that we could talk about it. So I appreciate the conversation. So.
I was like that, and it's a great topic. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, because we all do it.
Yeah, we all do it.
Whether we want to admit it or not, in one way or another,
we all
guilty.
Yeah. Oh, so you know one thing. Go ahead.
Yeah. You know, you guys have been doing it a long time, but you guys remember Dr. King? You remember Malcolm X? All these powerful leaders we had that's coming up. Now, think about this here. And this is gonna make you shake your head. Those guys. That one man, Dr. King, that one man, he made a whole city in Selma stop riding the bus. Malcolm X, he made a whole east coast of the country, of the South, start rebelling. You know what I mean? So imagine if two people were doing that at the same time with the same mission, the same goal. People couldn't stop you. But it's just one man. It was just one man that told America, you can ride the bus if you want to, but you don't have to. Carpool. Ride with each other. Or if you're tired of getting beat up on, hit them back. When you hit them back, now their mindset going to change because now, well, look at what we do here. It's fighting back now. You know what I mean? So if one man can make a whole city stop doing one thing, imagine what two men can do in one city.
That's
it's
true.
Three and four.
That's a good point.
If you're on the same accord, you know what I mean. So that's the thing. That's the thing that I tell the kids that I work with at this program I worked at for a long time. I always tell them, it's your journey. When you go home, tell your friends, hey man, look here, I learned how to tie ropes. Hey man, I went to church. I know how to tie a tie. You know, the thing that you learn how to do, teach somebody else. Teach them how to do it,
yeah.
And everything will be fine. But if you're not educated or you don't educate yourself, then you never know anything.
It's true, man.
One thing about,
it's true.
But the people of our community, we don't teach each other no more. We're not telling each other what it is no more. We just doing whatever it is to make each other look good. But if we start teaching each other, everything will be all right.
That's true. That's a good point. That's a great point, man. That's a real, real good point because to build a community, we have to become united again. And to be united, like you said, we have to be all on one accord. And you're going to have some naysayers in there, but if you get the numbers, you're changing. You're changing. You know what I'm saying? You're changing. And that's the good part about it. So, Javon, we talked on the topic of stereotyping for a minute. We're going to move on to our second topic, which is and we love to hear your feedback on this one. The definition of a woman. So we're going to throw it out there for you first. And pretty much, in your eyes, from your aspect, what's the definition of a woman?
It's on me?
Yeah, it's on you. It's on you.
Okay. I think the definition of a woman, in a sense, is it's just purity and power. Because they have all the power. I mean, because I know for a fact that without my wife, I can't do a whole lot, man. Some mornings, man, I ask her if I look good, if I leave the house. If these shoes go with this shirt, or do these socks go with these jeans? I mean, so, you know, and then you have the power of it. And my grandmother and my mother and people from that, you know, and that's how I see it. I see it just being power and purity because if they didn't bring in that other side that you need in your life, you never have anything.
That's a good way to put it, man. That's a good way to put it. I was thinking on a whole other level, but that's true, though, because I do the same thing. It's like that's the first person you look for assurance. You know what I'm saying? Your wife. You know what I'm saying? It was your wife. It was your mom, probably. You know what I'm saying? Or grandma. You know what I'm saying? But it was some motherly or womanly figure. It wasn't a man because I ain't gonna go to you and ask you how I look. I ain't gonna ask you for how I look. You know what I'm saying? It's just don't. Either I'm gonna figure he gonna tell me what he want me to hear, or he gonna tell me the opposite because he don't want me to think I look good better than him. You know what I'm saying? But I know she gonna tell me the truth because I'm a representation of her. You know what I'm saying? And then at the end of the day, to be honest with you, that's just an inherent thing women have. They just talk.
And don't get mad.
Yeah.
And don't get mad when she tell you that shirt don't look right.
Yeah.
Take that shirt.
Yeah, exactly. Can't get mad. Hey,
I'm mad, but I'm changing.
Yeah, go ahead, Jay.
I have to mute for a minute because I have a client in my office now. But I'm going to keep you guys on the phone,
man.
But I'm going to put you on mute and I'm going to come back on, okay?
All right, that's cool, man. That's cool. Do your thing, man. We'll continue on. Right. Appreciate you coming in.
All right. To piggyback on what he just said, like, I think women, they say men run the world or man runs the world. I think women control it. If you think about it, there's not much that you do that ain't somehow either directly or indirectly related to a woman. The fact that you shave, the fact that you take a bath, you don't care because they think you stink.
No, he
shouldn't be that close to you to smell you anyway.
Anyway,
you don't do that for him. So I think what he just said was like, in a nutshell, that sums it all up.
Yeah.
You can be big man all you want, but who are you trying to be big man for? Who are you impressing?
It's true, man. That's totally true. My definition of a woman. I think a woman is the heart of the world. Just from my standpoint, my understanding, I think their heartbeats keep the world moving. You know, if it wasn't for their sensitiveness or their... I thought I might have just made the word.
You did, yeah, I think.
I think I just might have read the word. But the gentleness, that's a real word. The gentleness of a woman in their understanding, because women are way more understanding than men. Way more understanding.
Well, it depends.
No, but at the core.
It's different levels.
At the core, they are. Because and this is the one thing, though. Mm-hmm. This is the one thing about women that, and I ain't finna get into too much trouble, but this is the one thing about women that you can't hardly find in men, but you can't beat in a woman. Whatever they believe in, whatever it may be, they'll make you think they're going along with you. And they will hide it so well and believe in what they believe in and carry it out and have you do it and you won't even know. I think it's genius, man. And at the same time, when to look back on it and realize it and to kind of honor it is the beauty of it. Me personally, man.
A woman is a master mind warper.
I know you want to say that word.
A
woman can...
You want to say that word? I say the word.
I think we know it.
Okay.
Man, like you said, that can have you doing stuff that you never thought you would do.
Yeah.
You know, have you, you know, doing stuff, you know, you don't put your foot down, this ain't going to happen. But if that woman make up her mind that that's what's best for y'all, a woman, you know, mm-hmm. not a chick, a woman, mm-hmm. if she feel like that's what's best for y'all, either she going to manipulate the situation to what you're doing without thinking it or not even realizing it, or she going to stand her ground and be like, no, babe, this is what we need to do.
Yeah.
And you going to listen.
And the only one can get you to go. And that's the thing. And I'm speaking from a point of having a wife. But even with a mama, even with my mother, it was the same way. It's sometimes the way they come at you, and all the times it ain't going to be directly nice or directly black, but the way they come at you, it triggers something. Mm. And only they can do that. Only women can do that. You know what I'm saying? Like, me and you can be talking, and you can say the same thing to me my wife might say. It's not going to take that impact I get when she said it. Even if it's my mama, even if it's my auntie. It's just, we as men, I know me especially, regard women in a standpoint of, if she feels enough to tell me something and she feels that way, I should feel enough to react about it. Now, as a man to a man, you might tell me something, I hear exactly what you're saying and feel totally where you're coming from and can give a D less.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? I ain't going there with you. That's just, okay, good. You're a man. Figure it out for yourself. But for a woman, you just have that feeling of a nurturing kind of feeling. You just want to make sure they're straight. You know what I mean? You want to take care of them. You want to make sure they're straight. And I don't even know if I'm defining a woman or I'm just defining my feelings towards women. But at the end of the day, I do want to get this out there. I believe a woman is the best thing that ever happened for a man. I really do. I really believe that. Because just through my own experiences, I know it's been times that if I didn't have my mother, my grandmother, my auntie, or my wife, I wouldn't have been able to do it. And I had friends. I had male friends. But it's just some things that ain't gonna register between two men that a woman can get to register for me.
To a certain extent, now it does not take a woman to make you a man.
Mm-mm.
Okay, you don't need a woman to be considered a man, but a good woman will help you become a man.
Yeah,
she'll help you along the way. because, and I'm trying to say a good thing, but it might come off bad. You know, if she plays her role right, she can mold you even trying into a better man, into a better person, because they have that that nurturing state in within them, and that caring mindset. We as men, we're more rigid. You know, we're more harsh. This simple fact right here, right? This little quick little thing, right? My son, my youngest son, Blake. What's up, Blake? Mm-hmm. Okay. He gets his little teddy bear somewhere and he'll try to sneak up behind you and rawr, scare you, right? Rawr, so he goes around the house. He runs around the house for hours trying to scare everybody. Rawr, he come to me. Rawr, that don't scare me. This is what I tell him. You know what I'm saying? Everybody, you're not going to scare everybody. We know you can't be afraid of everything. That's my lesson.
Right.
Right. That's my lesson. But every time he goes, he goes to his mama. Oh, she's terrified. You know,
right,
she's
right.
playing that role for him, right? But that's what they do. It has to. We have to have that balance, that yin and that yang, a lot of times.
Okay, I'm going to say it like this. I'm going to use one or two words because y'all know it way over there. But if we say a woman, you didn't say female, you didn't say none of that. You said woman. Right? I'm going to say confidence.
Mm-hmm.
And now you take these words however you want to take them, where you want to take them. These are just my words. Confidence. Honest. Patient. Strong. Secure in God's gift.
Yeah.
Like, that is the ultimate gift to the world. And I don't, in thinking about the topic, I think I came to that conclusion.
Yeah.
I've always known that women demand a different type of, and I don't want to go too far off, but you know I'm going to do it.
No, go ahead.
You know I'm going to do it.
I've been waiting for it. I want to hear it.
In contemplating and going back over life and the women who have had impact on life, my life personally, I found all those words.
Yeah.
I found all those words in those women, even in them being, I don't want to say taking the back seat. They're not brash and just outright. They can know that I'm about to do something wrong or something stupid and just say, okay.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. That drives my mind crazy. Like, okay, what? You ain't going to say nothing else other than okay? But at the end of the day, I know it's something else. Like, I know I'm going to come back. I know we're going to have this conversation again. I know. I don't know. I guess they just, in order to understand what a woman is, you kind of have to, and it's going to sound stupid, but look within yourself again.
Yeah. That don't sound stupid. It makes sense.
Not at all. That makes complete sense.
Makes sense to me. I think we all, the question triggered something in all of us. In some kind of way, because you had to go reach inside yourself to figure out what a woman meant to you. You know what I mean? And when confidence, strong, honest. This is a woman we talking about now. Like you said, this is a woman now. You know what I mean? Just because you got a girl name don't necessarily mean you might inherit these things. Just because I got a boy name or a male name don't mean I'll automatically become a man. Yeah, you know what I'm saying? But a real woman, it's all of those things. And that was perfect the way you described it. Because, like I said, I didn't feel like I was describing what a woman was. I was just describing more of what I felt.
I guess.
Where my mind is going, right? I'm probably going to the left a little bit. All these things that we're using to define a woman, right? These words that you just called out, Corey. We almost inherently expect that.
Mm-hmm.
From what we call a real woman.
Yeah.
Right? You almost expect that. So I can see how intelligent woman could almost use that against us. I know I'm going to the left.
But you know that, though.
Yeah,
you,
I'm fine.
You know that. You know when she's I don't know how you know, but you know when she's genuine in those feelings and when she's just good at acting out.
If you smart, you know. If you smart, you know.
I think we know. It's just the smart decision is to walk away from the one that we know is acting. But if you act good enough, she might stay there with you and let you act.
So that's what I'm saying. So they are so powerful.
Yeah.
So we know they no good. No, they not good for us.
Is Five on that list?
No.
Yeah.
They are so powerful that we can know, and they still have that. I'm going to say it, control.
Yeah.
That's crazy to me.
But the difference being where I'll go with the actor ain't half as far as I'll go with the genuine. Even though I'm sitting here and I look, you know what I'm saying, like, okay, I know this ain't real, but it looked okay.
You might want to make it.
You might try to make it. But something in you ain't going to allow you to go all the way where you want to go,
right,
because I know it ain't real.
It's going to have its limitations.
That's cool. It's cool. And in doing so, you act long enough. If you act long enough, you might just become what you act for. Now, who's to say who you become that for? That's between you and them.
Right.
But keep acting. Even you had to see something in the man that you acting for enough to put on the front.
Yeah. That's true.
Man, acts end. That's why they put the word "the end"
at
a movie. Nah, you are taking a chance on when that act ends. When you are totally, you know, invested in that, or you know, you were smart enough to see that it wasn't really there, so you kind of, you know, held them on short leashes, you know, as some people say. And you be careful.
The most important thing, and I don't want to miss this, especially talking about women, the fact that women can bear life, the beauty of the gift that God gave. And then on top of that, a lot of women have to bear life, then care for the child up until a certain age. Most men, let's be real, don't want to step into this time and this. All that nurturing and the holding and the getting up in the middle of the night, you automatically look to her. I mean, it's not right, but you automatically look, and she has it inherited.
But
she's doing it before you look.
I think it is right, though, because you don't have that nurturing ability that she got. You're not made of the same thing. So there are certain things that I, like you said, be there a couple of minutes ago, playing the role or assuming your role. I ain't going to say playing your role. In this instance, I can't handle this as well as you can. Yeah. I may can do it, but it ain't going to go like it would go if you did it.
You skate no thin ice with that, though. I'm going to tell you, you skate no thin ice just assuming that.
Yeah.
I might be getting off topic, but you skate no thin ice when you just assuming a lot of times that, you know, that's a hard role to take.
Mm-hmm.
It may seem just because it's natural to them doesn't mean that it's easy. You know, just like it's natural for you to be the leader of the head of your household, get up and go to work every day. Does that make it easy?
No, I didn't say it was easy. I don't think I did. If I
I'm not saying
that's why I said it was you skating on thin ice, because he's saying even though a lot of times we might want to stand back and say, well, they know how to do that. That's what they that's in them to do that. A lot of times, even us as men leading our houses amongst each other, amongst other men, like they don't get it
because you know they don't.
But
that's, you don't want them to either.
Yeah, that's the truth, too.
You don't want them.
I don't
want
you
to worry
about
it.
And that's the way
you're
looking at it from their standpoint.
Exactly. No, if I want to put my worries on you, why am I?
Yeah. That's true.
Your job is to take the worry away, right?
Now, women, allow your man to do that if that's what he wants.
Yeah,
Exactly.
If he says I got it, let him have it. Then I ain't gonna go there. But
to that point though, I'll go there. To that point though, it has to be an understanding and a fine line that we both done established right here. Look, I'm gonna let you do you, and you let me do you, me. When you need me, reach out to me. I'm here. Maybe I can pick it up sometime. Maybe I can't. You know what I'm saying? Because I'm not going to pick it up all the time. I don't get it like you get it. And there's some things I get you don't get.
Right.
But if that line of communication is open, hey, I got you, you got me. I'm going to fall sometime. And, you know what I mean? And more than likely, she going to pick it up for me or point it out for me.
And going, I'm glad you said line of communication because that's important. In understanding that you doing you over here. I know this is your thing. This is what you do. That don't mean that I didn't get involved in it.
No. Exactly.
If it's the kids, I can play with the kids sometimes.
Yeah.
I can get up at 2 o'clock, 1 or 2 or 3 of these times at the baby cry.
You can trade it off.
I can do some of the things that I know you better than me at doing. But as a whole, we just assume our role.
Yeah.
Like it's not a bad thing. It's been made to be a bad thing.
That's the word roles. That's what it comes down to.
It's not a bad thing. Like if nobody had roles, then we got mayhem. We don't know who doing what.
There's no structure. And without structure, you're just running around, everybody with chicken with their head cut off, basically. And that's a good point, because the thing, like, I can't cook. I'm putting it on there, I can't cook. I can get you some fries. I cut up some potatoes. I'm getting fried. My mom talking about, I watched it long enough, and I like the fries long enough now to make you some homemade fries. I can't cook. So my wife does all the cooking, you know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
But I do know at times she probably would want me to just go in the kitchen and do it. So I fired the grill. And put a steak on it and a lobster. She like a little lobster tail. So every now I do that. I realize that. Now, am I doing it as much as I probably could? No. Because a lot of times I take that out and say, well, you know the cooking thing. Is that right all the time? No. But that's the same point that we're making. Like, she don't really worry about the other side of the house either because I run that side. You know what I'm saying? And she's like, okay, I might come to her and I might just be mad this week. Just to put it like that. I might just be mad this week and I just want to rant and rave about you ain't done this, you ain't done that. So I done it all month and last month. All of a sudden this week it got to be a little heavy on me. So now I want to point out you ain't ever. Well, I shouldn't do that. You know what I'm saying? Because at the same time, it's other places where I'm probably lacking, where she needs me too. You know what I mean? But the difference is, them as women, and that patience is perfect.
Yes.
They'll have more patience with us than we'll have with them. And that's the, and these all the purity, like Javon said, the purity of a woman, that men just, we just don't get. You know what I'm saying? Inherently, we don't get it. But they teach it to us and give it to us.
I don't know if we don't get it. We take it for granted.
That could be it.
Yeah.
That could be it. We can figure we don't have to do it. Yeah.
This is what you're supposed to do.
Yeah. Yeah.
No, not necessarily, because you could be without it. You know what I mean? Like, I don't have to do this. I may have signed up to do this, but ain't nothing forcing me to do this. So I don't have to do anything. So I think a lot of things we take for granted, and it goes both ways. When you used to coming in the house and hitting the light switch and know the light's coming on.
Yeah.
When you used to flipping the channels on the remote and just know you can watch what you want.
Yeah.
You can take that for granted. Now, if I slip.
Yeah.
And you walk in the house one day and hit the light switch and know nothing happened, now we got a problem.
Yeah.
Yep. Now it's a big deal. No, it's been a big deal every month to me.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
It's been a big deal. Every time they send that paper, it's been a big deal. But I don't let it be a big deal to you.
Yeah.
So now give me the same thing.
Yeah.
If I'm a little hungry, don't let that. Why that got to be a big deal?
Yeah. Yeah. I totally understand it. I totally agree. Just from the standpoint of looking at women from the purity part, you know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
Just the purity. They are probably the biggest dynamic on the planet Earth as far as mayhem and also showing love.
Mm-hmm.
And in that side of them two dynamics, it can go either way real fast. So that's why to a woman, they have to understand it. Because once they understand their power, they have the choice of how they want to use it.
I think this is me, and here we go with
yeah,
me.
Yeah.
But a woman, and a man for that matter, but since we're talking about women, to learn what should be done as a woman, it don't take much. Like, all you got to do is look at the first example we had as a woman. The first example we had as a woman on this earth that we know about is we read the story and how she used her powers.
Mm-hmm.
Do the opposite, and you good.
Yeah, because you can.
Because you got the same opportunity every day you wake up. You got the same opportunity with your man, whatever man you choose. You have the same power.
That's a great point, because that explains a woman in a nutshell. If you go back and look at the first woman being that powerful, the power has always been. Always.
From the beginning.
She changed the world.
That's what I'm trying to tell you.
And she's still in control of the world today.
No, it's all about what you do with that power, with that control. You got it. It's all based on what you want to do, what kind of world you want, what relationship you want, what kind of house you want, what kind of whatever it is, what kind of job you want. That depends on what you do with the power that you have as a woman, because you got it all.
I'm sitting here, I'm listening to you, and my mind is going towards, on a world scale, why I think America would be hesitant to ever have a woman president.
Mm-hmm.
I think eventually it's going to happen.
Yeah, I think so too.
But I think they're hesitant is because of that fact that what we just said, that they have that power to invoke change. America don't want to change.
No.
America don't want to change. A woman president would try to change almost too much for the machine. The machine can't operate correctly if you change it too much. You know, we set the machine up to run this way for our financial gain. You come in here trying to change sprockets and spark plugs and everything like that, you messing our machine up.
Right, because you focused on the emotional side.
Mm.
You focused on the peace, and you focused on poverty, and you focused on all the stuff that we neglect. We ain't concerned with that.
Mm-hmm.
All we want is to make our pockets bigger.
Yeah.
That's what our system is. And a woman ain't concerned. Most women ain't concerned. No. A woman. We got to keep talking about the difference between the woman and the rest of those women.
Yeah.
A woman is not really concerned with that.
You got to be careful, though. And this is the reason I think the biggest uprise is against a woman being president. Because once a woman gets in that position, we know as well as anybody else, a woman can get what she wants.
She's going to get what. Not she can't.
Yeah. She's going to get what she wants.
She's
going to get what she wants. And much as we say it's going to be poverty they're going to be going at, it's going to be world peace, all that kind of stuff, that is where the world going to focus at. Because you're going to buy into it. It's a woman talking to you.
Yeah.
We're going to buy into it as the people following her. And it can happen. I believe it can happen to you. You say you know. I believe it can happen. And you want
to
know why?
And that's the reason why I don't believe it's going to happen, because the powers that be, America, quote unquote, ain't going for that.
Do they got a choice?
Example, look at Obama.
That's what I was going to say.
Look at
they
Obama.
Got a choice.
All right, look at
if you feed me a good enough message, I'll follow.
Okay, but yeah, say it was good, and he got in there. But look at the struggle that he's having along the way.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? No, and I think that may be the difference between what he brings to the table than what a woman president would bring to the table. All this resistance and everything we just said, a woman's going to get her way. So that right there, to me, is the difference between that change and still in the struggle.
Listen to me, young man. I'm going to ask y'all a real logical question right now.
Okay, hit me with it.
Have we had a president in office that has not been married?
Yeah, one got married in office. I think it was Henry Ewing or somebody.
Okay, I don't know.
So it was years ago, but he got married in office.
Okay. Do we really believe within ourselves that all the men that have lined up and stood in front of this country as president have been the ones that's really that the decisions have been just their decisions. We don't think them women been influenced
the
decisions.
No. Ain't nothing we doing. That, well, especially married.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I'm saying? That is totally our decision.
Okay. So we don't need a woman to stand out front necessarily. Not saying that, I'm not saying it like that. I'm just saying it's not necessary for her to stand out front in order for her to run this country. You don't think Michelle got some influence in
that? Yeah, definitely she does. I definitely.
I believe Hillary ran the country. I believe, I don't know about the Bush wives so much because they weren't so out. With, you know what I'm saying? But we don't know because both Georges laid down with their wives that night. And we know when we lay down at night, the conversation go. And, I mean, it don't mean I do exactly what she said, but she may influence what I've been planning on doing.
Man, I'm talking to you, young man. Any man who's been married and who's married right now and who want to keep being married going to do what it takes to make that woman that he lay down next to happy.
Yeah, that's true.
President, bishop, pope, I don't care who you is, but I don't think the pope married, but you get where I'm going. I don't care who you are, what your title is, what your role is. If you care about that marriage, you want to keep that, it don't matter what your title is, that woman is going to have some influence on that if she chooses to.
Yeah, that's true. I definitely believe, though, in that same point, that we're closer than we might think to a woman from being the president
maybe
of the United States.
Maybe we are.
And I'm not saying it's going to happen in 2016,
right.
But I'm saying the fact that I've seen a country that I grew up in that I never would have thought a black man could be president. It's possible that America's open enough now to allow a woman to be president.
Well,
and I don't see a problem with it. I'm going to be honest with you. Some people might say they do, but I don't see a problem with it.
If we do, just get ready for that change. Because
it's
coming. This whole thing is going to be turned upside down. It's not saying in a way.
Right, right.
But just life as we used to knowing it, it's going to be different. It's going
to
be different.
You let one woman in there, you might not be able to get nowhere.
Right.
No,
exactly.
That's the truth, too. And it might not be a bad thing. You're going to have naysayers, though, and you're going to have people coming out.
I always have that.
Because, I mean, most men, and it's just the truth of the matter, that's why you don't see a lot of women in executive positions or a lot of women in the power positions, because most men feel as if women shouldn't lead.
So
they're going to have a problem with it.
I'll go this far and say, take it from a presidential level and put it on a more personal level.
Mm-hmm.
Women who may be listening, if you would take the time to understand the power that you have and how to use that in a productive way, you can change the world now. You can.
Yeah, that's true.
You can teach. You will teach men how to treat you. You will teach men how to treat themselves, which in turn changes the world.
Yeah, it's true.
It's just that simple. It ain't got nothing to do with money. It ain't got nothing to do with none of that other stuff. It's all a personal choice. Now, if women keep lowering their standards, we can continue to see this thing keep dropping. We're going to continue to see a decline.
Can we say, now, is this fair to say? And I know I'm not probably going to be liked after this, but is it fair to say that we as men are the reason the women are low in their standards?
Nope. I don't believe that.
No, I'm asking a question, though.
I don't believe that's the answer. I just believe that they have not made the choice. Some of them have not made the choice to stand.
Not settle.
It don't matter. If it means that I got to be alone for a minute, I'm going to stand. That one that come along that I don't have to settle for is the one that I'm waiting for.
But I can see how that would be difficult for some, simply, you know, because they have that nurturing. They want to, you have that nurturing spirit and then just keep it to yourself.
Yeah.
And then
yeah.
That's not nurturing. That ain't helping nobody.
Yeah.
You don't got to be a man.
Women take on projects. Let's be honest. Women take on projects.
Well,
okay. Women take on projects. A woman feels that those in a lot of cases that they can change that man into being the man that
makes them a woman.
But they can. It's just the way they go about it. Okay. They can. We just said that. We just said that. Women got.
No, I guess I was speaking on the, you saying, if that means I have to be alone. A lot of them don't want to be alone.
Well, and continue to, we're going to continue to see what we see right now.
Mm. I'm just saying that's difficult.
But
that's a difficult task.
So do you believe a woman with a man can't be standing out front of you?
No. That's not what I'm saying. That's not what I'm saying. Well, let me hear you ask your question.
Because
I believe a woman with a man
can't stand out front of me. Because you're saying, they need to be alone. That's why I'm asking you.
A woman with a man don't want to stand out front. A woman. I don't want to stand out front. Why would I want to? That's what I got a man for. If my man is not capable of standing out front, why is he my man?
So does that bring some kind of
That sounded crazy. I'm sorry, I said it like
that. But does that bring does that bring a conflict, I should say, which is always good, to the fact that if we do get a woman president,
mm-hmm.
now she has to stand out front, say it's Hillary Clinton, just hypothetically. Bill Clinton was the former president. Now he becomes the first man, I guess we say.
See, that don't even sound right.
But I'm saying, though, it doesn't sound right because we're not used to it.
Right.
It can be right because first woman, didn't, first lady didn't sound right until somebody became
mm-hmm.
But with that being said, does that put her in a bad spot? Because now she's the leader.
You got to go back to the foundation. Now, if you going to ask me that question, I got to go back to the foundation.
Because this is where we're at. So we can go that. How many times we got? Well, we might not have enough time.
We can go into it a little bit. Women, a woman leading her house, her man, her marriage, or whatever. It's probably not a good situation because that person that you're married to it's either he's not going to feel that he's entitled to his responsibility or you're not giving him his responsibility as leader. So now put woman in front of the country.
I just see so much internal conflict that we would never see. They would never show us the conflict.
Do you hear the
struggle? Yeah. Seriously.
That's unnecessary struggle.
Oh. And you throw in that he's been the former president.
Right.
Not the fact that he hadn't dealt with it before, but he's been there before. Now you gonna try to tell me what you
mean. It ain't gonna work.
It would be his role to fall back.
She did it for him. And we just talked about it.
It would be his role to fall back.
Men were not created to be helped. Women were.
Mm.
Let's just go that route. Since nobody else wants to say it, I'll say it.
Ooh, boy.
We were not created to be a help. We were created to be that thing. But when we need help, we got something that we can depend on.
Got that rib.
Yeah,
so now, put it in the situation you want to put it in, and I'm sorry it sound like this. It's just, hey, we're going to talk truth. Let's talk truth.
I'm willing to share the lead.
You still have the face of head. No matter how you put it, you still have the face of head unless you don't live up to that,
mm-hmm.
unless you choose not to live up to that. Nobody knows how your house works. But when the lady's out front, you can't hide how your house works.
Yeah, that's true.
So now what do we say to other countries when we got women leaving the house? Not saying that I hate the way that sounds, but I'm just being honest.
Yeah, I understand what you're saying, though, because it's a cultural thing for a lot of places that the woman is not
to be seen, heard,
any kind of leadership role.
Right.
So I can see how some countries might look at that sideways. But then at the same time, we are Americans. We're innovators. We change things. It may help out. It may work out.
If we do it, it's just like we saying, being a simplification of the positive. If we do it, it might bring a change about everyone. Because we saying a woman going to change. We know that if she take over. So why not the biggest country, the most populous country, this plan?
Let me ask you this. Let me ask you this question. Put a woman in front of the country, right?
Mm-hmm.
And we're in a major crisis.
Mm-hmm.
And you got things coming out from every angle. From left, it comes from right, it comes front, back, on top, from the bottom. They coming. Women were not created to handle that type of pressure. Not saying that they can't. They weren't created to. So if that happens and she breaks in that situation, can we say she's wrong? What else did we expect? Now we got our president standing in front of the world, broken because of pressure.
I can't agree with you on that.
I can't.
Let me tell you why.
I think
you
ain't giving enough credit. I don't think
you
give women enough credit.
No, you're not. You mishearing what I'm saying. I'm not saying that they can't.
I think they are built for that. They're built to take that pressure.
They take it all the time.
Look at a small scale of a household. A woman's in there taking care of the kids. She keeping the house clean. She's
mm-hmm.
cooking and feeding. She washing clothes.
Mm-hmm.
She makes sure her husband is in the right mind state.
Mm-hmm.
Makes sure her kids in the right mind state.
And still taking care of herself.
Still taking care of self. So I think a woman is built for that pressure.
I think we may not be.
To say something that a woman would sit and break in front of the country.
No, I didn't say she would. I said, put it in perspective.
Okay.
Are you more likely to see a man break or a woman break? Which one are you more likely to see break in the public eye under pressure, under scrutiny?
I don't think
we're going to
see either one. We got to remember the machine, man. It's the machine. Then we don't see neither one of them break.
Okay.
If they break, they're going to break behind the scenes.
Okay.
You know, so to say that, for me, to say that a woman or a man will break first, I think that's an individual thing and what's inside of a person.
Yeah.
Whether or not they'll break. You know, it's that crack in their foundation that allows that break to happen in the first place. So to say that a woman breaks more than we're trying to say that their foundation is just cracked all the time.
Nope.
That's not me.
Okay.
You know what I'm saying? Me. So it's hard for me to say that. I can't say that a woman would break in that situation.
Okay.
A weak person would break in that situation. And we as the machine is going to either change them from being weak or they're going to hide the fact that they weak. I felt like the machine hid the fact that the second Bush, second
mm-hmm.
George,
mm-hmm.
was a weak person.
Yeah.
They hid
it. And we still seen it.
It was just in its being. But I feel like they hid a lot of that from us.
Well, it sounds like we got us another topic.
Yeah.
Mm. This one can keep going and we ain't got the time to keep going with that one. But we all entitled to our own individual, and I kind of feel like what I just said was misinterpreted a little bit, but that's cool. That's fine. we were talking about definition of woman.
Yeah. We got kind of off.
Yeah, we went into politics.
Yeah, we do that.
You know, it happens.
It
but
is,
I think we all understand that there's a difference between woman and any other label that you might put on a female, just like there's a difference in man and any other definition you might put on or label that you might put on a male.
Well, you know, not to cut into your thought, but the fact of the matter is we all going to have different opinions.
Mm-hmm.
You know what
mm-hmm.
I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
And we don't know because we haven't seen. It hasn't happened yet. And we're going more off our own personal experiences, but like Bone said, we have seen a man break as president. I'm not sure a woman would, but she might well, too. She may as well, too, break.
The way I was trying to go with that is you would have more, which one is it, empathy or sympathy?
Sympathy.
You would have more sympathy towards a woman.
But then it'd be empathy because we would never been able to experience what a woman would.
Well, whichever one it is, empathy or sympathy, I don't got the two straight, but you get what I'm going.
Yeah.
We would feel more towards we would feel a certain way more towards a man who broke as our leader than we would a woman. We would understand. Mm.
Okay. When you put it that way.
Yeah, I understand that.
When you put it that way, yeah, I understand.
We would understand. Okay, man, what you expect?
And you know what's crazy about that is we are more sympathetic to men because we relate to men. But maybe men, we would feel what they go through, but we more ridicule. We'll ridicule a man more and be more empathetic to a woman, and we don't even understand.
Now, what I do think is if we had a woman president, we would have more respect,
yeah.
I think,
yeah. Yeah.
For the role,
yeah.
Just in general.
Yeah. Yeah,
and any way that we can release some of that pressure, we'll do it.
And then I see that from real men. But I'm going to be honest with you. The respect I see shown to our president now is at an all-time low. I mean, it's just totally disrespectful. I have never seen it done to anyone else.
Now, you can expect that to double if we had a woman. Because there
that's
are
why
just
I'm saying.
No
that's
right.
Why I'm saying. Exactly. That's for real men. Yeah, that's why I said for real men. But ignorance. Men that don't really get it, no, what we can't even call them men.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? But those individuals that don't really get it, I'll be calling them all out of their name and this and that just because they don't like them. You know what I'm saying? So I get that. Yeah, I get that totally. That tournament that you bring into it.
Exactly.
But if they welcome in an African-American president, I'm willing to believe we might see it.
We might.
We might see it.
Well, I enjoyed this one again. I enjoy them all. I like it too. I appreciate Jovan and his comments and his opinions and his input on stereotypes and being judgmental. And I guess I get ready for Friday, see what we got going on.
Yeah, we're coming back Friday. We're going to have something good for you again. It's relaxed. If I'm not mistaken, it's it's
okay.
Dropped my mind.
We'll
but it's Brown Liquor. Brown Liquor Friday. I had to get it in there so you know.
I forget that one.
Yeah, Brown Liquor Friday. How you forget, T? I don't know. But we're going to bring it back to you on Friday, and it'll be something good. Vaughn, you got anything for us?
Yeah, just real quick, man. I wanted to thank Javon for joining us today, man. Appreciated your insight on everything. That was good to have a different perspective. Enjoyed the show. Look forward to Friday. Look forward to every show, really.
Yeah.
Signing out. I'll holler.
It is.
Hey, Javon, man, good looking. We appreciate your insight, man. We appreciate you stepping up to the mic. And we appreciate what you're doing for your community and to make a difference, man, a positive difference. That's what's up, man. With that being said, lock your doors, but open your hearts to the Lord. It's hard, but it's fair. One love, JWJ. Head out.
And send us some topics, man. We want something to talk about.
I think about the quake that left 40,000 dead. I think about the troops coming home from the east. I think about taking a mark and worshiping the beast. I think about Revelations 19 and 20, Isaiah 18 and Jeremiah 50. I think about me, my mama and my brother, how we grew up on Chapel Road and had to struggle. I think about all the victims of the hurricane. I think about all the homeless folk when it rained. I think about when we came over here slaves, and when it's time to leave, who gon' wanna stay?
And the show ain't me, it must be.